someone will get a puzzled look on their face and raise their hand, and they'll ask a question, and they'll feel kind of stupid. I'll answer the question. As I'm answering, I'll look around about four or five people nodding. Right. They also have the same question, all right? And there's only one person dared to ask, all right? And I love questions. We're going to go back to some basics this morning. I mean, extreme basics of God himself. And had somebody curious, and you just can't believe how pleased I am that this person's curious. Right. But they're curious. Suddenly they're looking, hey, wait a second. I'm looking at this Bible, and what is all this stuff? Okay? And you just can't imagine how happy I am that that person has asked that. Okay? And what they wanted to know is this idea of, what is this going into villages and killing men and women and babies and, you know, taking all their stuff. And did God direct Israel to do that? Yes, he did. Okay? How do you justify that? How do you square that circle? Now, when I first went to Vermont in 1985, I tell people Vermont 1984 had voted for Jesse Jackson for the presidential primary. Gives you an idea what kind of people are in Vermont. At that time, Bernie Sanders was the mayor of Burlington, and he was trying to tax the hospitals. you just stop and wonder at this. So what they do? They made him a senator, of course. You know, but we went there, and there were whole townships in Vermont with not any church, no church, nothing, not even the wrong church, just no church. And I went there and realized that, you know, I've got to reach these farmers, and you know the best way to reach farmers? I worked in the fields with them. Why? Because I'm a good and wise man. No, I was broke. but there's something about there and going and spending a day out in the fields and haying and that kind of stuff and going out there and picking corn with them and doing that kind of stuff and just talking. And you know what I've learned? Everybody gets fascinated with Bible if you'll talk about the Bible to them. Yeah. Don't direct them. You've got to believe that. Just talk about the Bible. Next thing you know, a couple of them farmers start showing up at our kitchen. And, we lived upstairs of a farmhouse, hard against this huge, big old red barn. Wasn't being used anymore, but it had been built for the farm helper at the time, the little apartment we were in. Danny was born when we were in that apartment. And that's where we were, and we used our ironing board for the pulpit, and we preached in the kitchen, and that's where we started the church. The church is still going. Brother McVeigh's got a meeting he's going to do there in a while. But I went in there and preached about the God that nobody likes. The God that nobody likes. Okay? Why? Because it's Vermont. That's obviously they didn't like God. Let's introduce them to the God that nobody likes. A God who describes himself as terrible. Okay? And we went into it. And, you know, they're still holding church. All right? They're still there and meeting together it's changed some lives, and we're pleased to hear that. We're pleased to see it, okay? So we're going to go into this God, who he is, but in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, says this. 17:24 in Acts, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So God made all men of one blood, and that's one of the things that the world didn't realize. They didn't think black people had the same blood we had and this kind of thing, and yet you know you can go into a hospital and it wouldn't matter. When they find that type O blood or AB or whatever it is you need, it wouldn't matter what race that person came from. It's going to go for you, okay? The Bible was just thousands of years ahead of science there, all right? And, you know, eventually science catches up, but, you know, you wait a little bit for them. Don't mock them when they get it wrong. Well, I mock them when they get it wrong, but nevertheless, they got it wrong. But what I want you to see is God gave people the bounds of their habitation. God gave lands. He gave things to people. And why? That they could seek him. Okay? That's why he did it, so that they would seek him. And it hasn't worked real well. Okay? People don't often seek God. By the way, God gave you your families as part of the bounds of your habitation. Okay? He gave you that. And what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to break those bonds, isn't he? Trying to break those bonds of your family. Trying to break that and shatter them all apart. And why? Because God, you know, God wants you to seek him. The devil doesn't want you to seek him. All right? So what's he do? He breaks those bonds. He tries. And you just listen to the testimonies of people here who successfully broke the bonds of their family. Listen to their testimonies. See if their lives were happy and good lives, okay? Or weren't happy and good lives. They were miserable lives when they broke the bonds of that family. All right. I want you to go back with me to Genesis chapter 10. Zane and Luke, being in State University of New York, therefore have to go through a certain amount of propaganda, nonsense, and everything else they have to listen to. And they talk about being in one of the classes and some girl off of one of the reservations, and the white people took all our lands away and they need to give it all back and everything. And the instructor's just, yes, yes, you know, a little wimpy, you know, whatever. And you know, I'm all for that if you could find the Erie and the Algonquin that the Iroquois took it away from. Do you realize this was all Algonquin and Erie territory until the 1600s? About the time the Pilgrims were landing, the Iroquois had their big tree treaty in Ohio and moved in here and absolutely slaughtered the Erie and the Algonquin, burned them to death, tortured them in every way that they could, and got them out of here and took the land, all right? And so, you know, whenever you hear one complaining we need to give the land back, tell them, well, go try to find some Erie and Algonquin, all right? Try to find them. And you know, so it just, again, the hypocrisy that's out there is beyond measure, okay? You know, somebody said, boy, Israel needs to get that land back to the Arabs. What if I could find out your land used to belong to an Indian? Well, suddenly they don't agree with that anymore, all right? You know, that's them, not us, all right? You're going to find here that God sees things different than we do, but Genesis chapter 10, look at verse 25. Very strange statement made here, but very scientifically accurate. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, and the other, and for in his days was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. Didn't say the world. The world is the system, the people. The earth, terra firma, the ground you pick up. Now, some of you older, how many of you older people remember weekly readers? Yeah, all right, yeah. Weekly readers, all right? You get those in school or whatever. I remember sitting at a desk with a weekly reader, and they were explaining this new scientific theory that maybe the continents all used to be one. And then they drifted apart, okay? And they were explaining that. I remember being excited. They said, now some scientists believe it and some don't. Now there's not a scientist on earth today that doesn't believe that. Your Bible told you in Genesis 10
that
God divided the earth. But it wasn't continental drift. It was, all right? Suddenly the Japanese are over there, the Chinese are over there, the American Indians are there, the Irish are where they are, and the Italians were where they are, or whatever else. And thank God they came to New Jersey, though, all right? Thank God for that, all right. All right. But God divided the earth, okay? That's what God did. And again, 2,000, 3,000 years later, by golly, science caught up with the Bible, all right? Figured out, wow, that really did happen. They still don't have the timing right, but, you know, we'll give them E for effort, all right? They're getting there. So if you give them a little bit of time, they'll have it. Now, go with me to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 18. So God determined the times before appointed bounds and habitations for people. He then divided the earth, make those boundaries and habitations a little bit more of what they ought to be. Now, Leviticus chapter 18, I'm going to read you a lot of things that God finds horrible, terrible, things that God hates. We're going to go to verse 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. And that's been a huge problem in Allegheny County. Do you realize that when Oregon and Washington were being settled, the states, the advertisements that went out in the newspapers looking for brides said, no women from Allegheny County, New York need apply. We do not want the issue of incest. Okay? I was told that by Pastor Kenyon at the Wellsville Bible Church, and he was a historian of this area and actually saw those ads and such. All right? It's been a huge problem in this area for a very long time, and we know that many people here have suffered, okay? By the way, it's not Allegheny County anymore. It's all over the place, okay? All over the place. You know, one of the first things when people start coming to this church is I have to teach them to cover their bodies. You'd think there used to be a time people understood that, cover your body, right? And mothers would run around naked in front of their children, and fathers would run around naked in front of their children and such. A shame, awful thing. But they didn't know any better. They just didn't, okay? And, and I wasn't angry with them, but boy, you want your children to grow up wholesome. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Verse 7, the nakedness of thy father and the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. And thy dads get married over again, okay? The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness shall... thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. In other words, I've known people who suffered from their grandparents, okay? Their grandfather was the one that molested them, did awful things to them, and it's a terrible thing when that happens. It's a lifelong scar and a wound, and yet there's so many who even sitting here who have gone through those kind of wounds, and God has helped you. Okay? God's been gracious to you. God's been merciful to you, okay? And I'm so glad for that. I had a man years ago ask me to come and counsel with him and his wife, and I sat and talked to him for a little while, and everything he kept saying, he was ringing bells he didn't realize, and I finally turned to him and said, who molested you? And he began to cry. His mother used him for a husband the whole time he was growing up. Okay? And it just so hurt him. And if you talk to him, you can just, the wound inside of him, it's just a wound. And it's just terrible, okay? Just this awful thing that he had to grow up with. Now it goes on. Verse 13, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. I was stationed with a man in Athens, Greece, the single most perverted man I've ever known in my life. And that's saying a lot. Who, when he was 8 years old, go over to his aunt's house. Mm-hmm. And she perverted him. Mm-hmm. Had a preacher's wife. Ruth Ann, I love this man. He was a great help to us. And the man took me aside and said, by the way, my wife was perverted by her own aunt. They'd go over there to grandma's house and the spinster aunt would take her upstairs to the sewing room. And she never told anybody till she was older. She was afraid to tell anybody, okay? These things go on. They're awful. God hates them. God hates them perfectly. God. Verse 14, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, for she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter, her daughter's daughter, to uncover her nakedness, for they are near kinsmen. It is wickedness. And I have known men in this county recently who brag about getting both a mother and the daughter. God hates that.
Yes.
Hates it. Okay. Verse 18, neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness before the other in her lifetime. You say, well, Jacob did that. It was imposed upon him. Jacob did not do that voluntarily. Okay. That was imposed upon him. Verse 19, also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is apart for uncleanness. When she's having her time as a lady, leave her alone. Okay? There's just a sense of cleanness to that. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. They would actually, they had a god. Think of a big potbelly stove. And think of it having arms like this and put your baby on it and the baby rolls down into that fire. Okay? I worked with a man in Vermont whose wife was having mental health issues, and he came home one day and his wife was just sitting and staring ahead. Where's the baby? She pointed to the wood stove. Okay? Can you imagine doing that religiously? Oh, this is your firstborn. Charity's your firstborn. We have to give him. Okay? Imagine that. They lived under that with Moloch. They lived under that. Okay. Verse 21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Okay, that's sodomy. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. That's where eventually porn takes you there. Eventually porn will take you or you'll watch that. Mm-hmm. It has to. The porn gets old and boring after a while. It has to take you there. And I have listened to men in agony. I know of a man who was a hero in World War II who said, I'm addicted to it now. County fairgrounds had that problem almost while you're here, where they have to keep arresting a guy, keep sneaking in, okay, doing that. That's where porn will take you. Where porn, then the next step is snuff films where they kill the woman, okay? That's the next step. It's where it's leading you, okay? You know what Ted Bundy did? Ted Bundy was a serial murderer who was sentenced to death in the state of Florida. And the first time he ever did it, he'd have a van out in a parking lot, like a Walmart parking lot, and he'd be in a wheelchair. And he'd say to her, could you help me real quick? When she goes around that van where no one can see, bam, in the van, she's dragged off and gone. And he talks about driving to work the next day and thinking to himself, did I do that? Yeah, you did that. And eventually he had about 50. And before they were going to execute him, he asked for Dr. James Dobson to come in and talk to him. And he told James Dobson, he said, would you plead with people to stay away from porn? Would you plead with them to stay away from porn? That's where it's trying to bring them. That's where it's trying to bring them. It's trying to pervert them that much. And James Dobson dutifully went out and told people, please stay away from porn. That's where it's trying to bring you. Okay? Now watch what it says this. Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. This was the common practice in those nations. Jack Chick quoted some archaeologists who studied and dug those things up, and they say when you begin to read it, you want to vomit what other people were doing. You want to vomit when you see the things that they were going on and the practices that they were carrying on. Okay? Verse 25, and the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomited out her inhabitants. So there came a point when God looked at these people in those lands, and God hated what they did. Hated what. He said, what about the babies? Now let me explain something to you. Number one, that kind of molestation that was going on there is in 99 out of 100 times something, usually when a man becomes a molester, he himself had been molested. Very rare that a person ever begins just doing it out of nowhere, okay? They find exceptions where some guy did this or whatever, but those are rare exceptions. Most of the time when a person becomes a molester, he's doing it himself. I would, had it done to himself. And they pass it on. It's that gift that keeps on giving. Mm. Number two, this is where your so many of your diseases came from. Men mingling with animals. God wanted it all wiped out. For the health of the world to come, God wanted every bit of it wiped out. Every bit of it gone. Okay? He told Israel, you go in there and you kill the ox, you kill the ass, you kill the woman, you kill the child, you kill the suckling. Let me ask you a question. Where would those babies have gone? Straight ahead. They'd be in heaven today.
Right. That's right.
They'd be in heaven today. God's shown you that over and over again through the Bible. Did Israel do what they were told to do? And Allegheny County still suffers. We still suffer from it here. And the evil of that has spread out through the world and all over the place and spread out through the world because Israel did not do what they were supposed to do. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 18. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. All men that were ever born since Adam were born with a condemnation. You know, when I deal with the Muslims, one of the things they hate is that idea of original sin. Because they don't understand it. They have the Roman Catholic concept of original sin. That somehow or other this blight from Adam is on you. No, original sin is your nature. Okay? Muslims say all day long, I don't have original sin. But they lie. They steal. They lust. Why? Because so do Christians. So do Mormons. So do Shintoists. So do atheists. It's the nature of man. Because of one man's sin, all were born into this condemnation. We all have that nature. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, I've heard a master of Israel and you don't realize you need to be born again. You don't realize that the very nature you were born with is what it is. You don't understand that. Okay? And he should have understood that. So it's that idea that by one man's disobedience, all were born into this condemnation. Now watch what it says here. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon how many men? All men unto justification of life. Now, I'm going to read the next one and show you a contrast. 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, how many were made righteous? Many, not all. And yet all were given the free gift of justification unto life. What's that mean? It means that every single person born on this earth since the cross has the right to life. And never again will God ever send an army into a nation so kill them all. Never again will God ever do that. That's done. That's over. Men will do it. You know, back in the 1920s in Paris, young communists used to sit around at tables, the cafes, and they'd talk and discuss. And they would talk about, how can we make the world better? They've rejected the Bible. By the way, something that I mentioned yesterday in that impromptu preaching session we had, we got done. Christianity is not the majority of the world, okay? But if you took Christianity in the sense of census taker, what's your religion, Christian, that might be a Greek Orthodox, that might be a Coptic Christian, that might be a Roman Catholic, that might be a Methodist, or just a Christian, okay? And within all of that, it's a great minority that believes that the Bible is the way to find God. The great minority within that. Okay, you know, I grew up, as I say, as a Roman Catholic. We didn't use Bibles. Okay, you go into our pews, there are no Bibles in the pews, and or anything of that sort. And once in a while, the priest would stand up and read a story. The nuns would tell the stories. But the way to salvation was the sacraments. You went through those. That's how you found salvation. And they told you that. Okay, and so the thing is, once you get into those who believe that the Bible is the way, you know, we have to follow the Bible, you'll find that it's only a select small group even within that that believes the Bible is literal. Okay? So, for example, if you were to go to the Church of England today and ask them, you know, can we find the way of salvation in the Bible? They'd say yes, okay? And then they would tell you some vague things or whatever, but it has nothing to do with conviction under sin and the gospel or whatever else. And they, but they would say, this is how. And so they have their own little sacraments they find in the Bible. And if you follow Church of England, for example, it talks about one point the apostles came in and confirmed the people in that town, so they have the rite of confirmation. Okay? And, you know, it says the apostles baptized, and they baptized babies, all right? They're going out, we found all this stuff in the Bible, okay? And so they do it that way. But it's only a minority that believes that the Bible words are even true. If you go around to most Bible colleges even today, and I mean most Southern Baptist Bible colleges, Methodist Bible colleges, all that kind of, the professors don't believe that Jonah was really swallowed by a whale. They don't believe you were really created by God. They don't believe that, okay? Way back in the late 1800s, that began to be a huge problem in the Southern Baptist seminaries. In the 1950s, R.G. Lee stood up and said to the Southern Baptist Convention, as the president, as he resigned, 85% of you are lost. Okay? 85% of you are lost. You've come to Mars Hill and all these places and learned your junk and your nonsense and have no idea what Bible salvation is. Mm-hmm. Okay? So then if we take those who believe that the Bible is infallible, do you realize how many of those actually believe it's the King James Bible? It's an extreme minority within that. Okay? And then when you take those who believe the King James Bible isn't infallible, it's an extreme minority who really sanctify them just to the words of this book, not just the commentaries and tradition. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there's not many. It's a very rare thing. It's something that's, it's, you know, what Jesus Christ said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We'll even find it. Okay? He himself wondered if that would happen. But the idea is, when you find, when England did believe the Bible, when England did believe it, and when America did believe it, when their armies believed it, go to the lands that they colonized. Go to the lands where they taught people their ways. Those are the single most successful nations on this earth today. Then go to the lands that Belgium colonized, the ones that Germany colonized, the ones that Spain colonized. Go to those. They never get over it. Revolutions every other year, and poverty and misery and everything else. Why? Because men that believed this book established governments on the face of this earth whereby people could prosper and do well.
Yes, sir.
That's what they established.
Right.
In those little coffee shops in Paris, they would discuss how to handle it, since we don't believe the Bible anymore. One of the men who was at those was a man by the name of Ho Chi Minh. Another one was a man by the name of Pol Pot, okay, who would sit around at those coffee shops with the Paris intellectuals. And what do you do when there's too many people? Well, you cull the population. Cull a population? How do you call the population? You go and kill people. Now, Ruth Ann and I have stood in the prison in the middle of Phnom Penh. And we, with our own eyes, have seen the piles, huge piles of human skulls, where Pol Pot decided, I'll do what we talked about in those little coffee houses in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I'll actually do it. They had a camera set up, and everybody they killed, they decided, since they're scientific people, they took a picture of each person. There's bullet boards all over in their pictures. And we tried to look at everyone. We tried to look at everyone, but there's just thousands and thousands. And you look at this person, it's the last thing they're going to do. They're going to get their picture taken. And then because they're trying to conserve money, they stop using bullets and they just bludgeon them to death. We saw the torture equipment where they take men and tie their hands behind their back and then winch them up like this and hang them for days. Okay? Because we're scientific.
We've sat at the coffee houses of Paris, and we'd sip coffee and talk about how to bring about a better world, okay? Mao Zedong starved over 53 million people to death. One of the most horrible deaths you could ever have is starvation. And he did it on purpose, purposely. Stalin starved the Ukraine to death to break their spirit. Men who are going to scientifically, using our modern education, we're going to bring in a better world. Go to try to find the lands where these men came in to build better worlds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then go to the lands where men who believe this book established the government.
That's right.
Okay? Isn't it interesting that our book talks about killing babies and killing women? And yet we have lands where women and babies used to be safe. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Bailo tries to keep them safe. Okay? Used to be safe. Okay? We're at a place. One of the ways you define freedom. Kind of crackpot speak. Well, you know, let's go to Congress. All right? But I think you all realize that is under threat today.
Yes.
That is under threat. Okay? Mm-hmm. Can a crackpot speak? You know why? Because quite often what the crackpot's saying turns out to be the next generation's truth. Mm. John Wesley was looked at as a crackpot. Okay? John Bunyan was looked at as a crackpot. Sometimes people come along with Ronald Reagan was looked at as a crackpot. Okay? And yet, you don't censor that. Let everybody speak. You know why people want to censor? Because they're afraid people will listen to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're afraid people will listen to Pastor Hayden.
Yeah.
They're afraid that people will listen to Kyle Beale. Okay? They're afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid because the wisdom of their words cannot overcome what we say.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Therefore, they have to shoot people that say what we say. Mm-hmm. Okay? They have to shoot them. I'm glad I live in a land where a man can stand and curse God.
Yep.
Do you realize there's all in the whole Middle East, there's only one country where a Muslim Arab can go curse his country in public and not be shot? There's only one land where a Muslim Arab can go stand in front of the parliament or stand in front of his leader and say, I hate you with all my guts. You know what land that is? Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel. All the other lands, if an Arab said anything like that, he'd be in jail and tortured to death so quick. Everybody calls Israel the evil place. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Called the evil place. There's more Arabs living in Israel now than in 1900.
That's a provable fact. Okay? With far more freedom than they'd have anywhere else. At one point, Donald Trump was close to making a deal with a couple of neighborhoods in Israel who were going to be sent, made part of Palestine. You know what the Arabs there said? We're moving if that's the case. We don't want to give up what we got here, all right? We don't want to give that up. Why? Because those Jews went in there and took Western government. The things that were established from this book, where even their enemies were allowed to speak and talk about being enemies, okay? That's what freedom does, okay? I understand we're in the waning days of a great nation. I understand that. I understand we're not going to turn it around. I understand that. But I've watched a few families turn it around. I've watched a few individuals turn it around. I've watched some people so hurt by this world and so dragged down by those things crawl to Jesus Christ and find life and find hope and find happiness. I've seen it. As long as God gives us breath, we'll continue to teach those things.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't know how long that freedom will last. You know, one of my prayers, I think of Mrs. Hain watching this, but I actually pray that God will take the Hains out before all that stuff falls apart. The righteous dieth and no man taketh it to heart, but the Lord hath delivered him from the trouble to come. Already there's proposals now
that we shouldn't do all these extra end-of-life things that are the major cost with medicine. Okay? Assisted suicide shouldn't be quite as voluntary as it is today. You say, well, that's crackpot. Go back, 10 years ago, it was crackpot that the government should let little boys castrate themselves in school. I just read the story of a girl, 16 years old, who realized what a horrible mistake she made last year, getting a full mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And they're suing the hospital that did it. She said, they wouldn't let me get a hotel room at the age I'm in. They wouldn't let me vote.
Right.
I can't buy alcohol. And yet I was able to go in and tell the doctor, cut my breasts off. That's, we're living in this now. Now, we're not talking about something out there in the future. It's coming. The only vestiges of freedom and holiness left on this earth, freedom and goodness, are places where men believe this. Back in the 1600s and 1700s, wrote constitutions, who believed they were created, believed they were made by God, and wrote constitutions and left it for us. And that's the only places. Make the Constitution your home based on this.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Hain?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Patricia and I, we may be in heaven when this unfolds.
In its horror. We were concerned for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. That involves some of you, children.